You don't need a study to tell you that aging and fatigue go hand in hand. Nevertheless, my friends at Nutritional Therapeutics, makers of NT Factor, point to 16 studies, all peer-reviewed and published in medical journals, showing that NT Factor can reduce fatigue, while at the same time, age-related changes in the cells are reversed. For 30 years, the makers of NT Factor have worked to improve our health spans by focusing on the mitochondria, the energy powerhouses of our cells. Their science shows that NT Factor, which I don't go a day without and recommend to my patients, improves our energy and prevents the deterioration that accompanies aging. They promise us that our day-to-day lives will be improved, and they keep proving it in studies that include placebo-controlled trials, both in the academic institutions and in medical practices like mine. You can find NT Factor at your favorite health food store or online retailer, or to order direct, go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Don't let tiredness and fatigue rob your senior years. Invest regularly in the anti-aging benefit of NT Factor at ntfactor.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Just to give you some program notes, we have an offering this month at drhoffman.com, something that Layla and I prepared. It's entitled Defensive Eating, Taming Your Addiction to Food, because there is a physiological basis for food addiction and overeating. It's not merely that you suffered from maternal deprivation or something like that. Find out why we eat and the way we do and what's driving it and what we can do about it in this video seminar that features yours truly and Layla, and will arm you with proven strategies that you can use immediately so that you can effectively slash your eating propensities.
Yes.
drhoffman.com/defensive eating.
Okay. We've got an email from Marianne. I have osteopenia, and I wanted to start taking strontium for bones.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I understand, and reading the description, that strontium is a mineral element important for normal structure function of the skeletal system, and nearly all strontium in the body occurs in bones, teeth, and connective tissue. Is there a chance this might wind up in soft tissue like my breasts as suspicious calcifications as calcium may?
So let's tell you how this works.
Yeah.
First of all, let's look at the situation with calcium. Calcium goes to your bones, teeth, and to a small extent, other tissue. But in a soluble form, it doesn't show up as calcification. If it does, you have kidney stones or things like that. It's possible, if you take enormous amounts of calcium, to get deposition in your kidneys.
Mm.
And maybe your soft tissue, but actually what does that is in super high amounts of vitamin D. If you took like 100,000 of vitamin D every day, 100,000 international units, you could get soft tissue calcification, which would be very painful and, you know, damage your kidneys and so on. But short of like overzealous calcium consumption and vitamin D consumption, the only way that calcium forms, and you, by the way, when you get a mammogram, they look for breast calcifications.
They do.
Why? Because it's a sign maybe of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Because cancer sets up an inflammation, and where you have inflammation, you have calcification. So, for example, you get calcification in your shoulder. That's why people get bursitis and frozen shoulder.
Yeah.
But that's due to chronic inflammation,
mm-hmm.
and calcium, you are the one who actually coined this term. It's like spackle. It is the body's repair mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the arteries, it's the body's repair mechanism,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't just get calcium glomming on there. Calcium is the reaction to inflammation in your arteries.
Yeah.
To seal it off.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So when we look at the coronary artery calcification, it's an index of atherosclerosis, but it's actually, you're looking at not the cause of the problem, but the consequence of the problem.
Right.
The body's response to the plaque.
Yes. Yes, I call cholesterol a spackle, so to speak. But here's the thing.
You mean calcium is a spackle?
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Cholesterol to some extent, but...
Is it being a repair substance?
Yeah, because there's an inflamed wall.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you said that also it develops because of trauma.
Yes.
It can because of trauma in breast tissue or something like
right.
that. Now, the thing that I caught on here, Marianne, you said you have osteopenia and you want to start taking strontium. Strontium is really not indicated for osteopenia?
Maybe it's overkill. You know, I would generally reserve it for osteoporosis.
Right.
I think you could do with vitamin D and vitamin K and olive leaf extract.
And strength training and getting adequate protein every day. We need more as we get older to maintain our lean body mass, including our bone mass, which is lean body mass.
Yeah, strontium's kind of a big deal. It's a medication in Europe, and I think it should be administered with a little bit of guidance here. Mm. Although they do include it in supplements available over the counter. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
Those are different forms of strontium, yes? In Europe, it's ranelate.
And here it's citrate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so there would be the difference there. Okay. Marianne, there you go. Thank you for your question.
Yeah, so there's, I know, bottom line, there's no danger that you're going to have, like, crunchy breasts.
Right. Ouch. Crunchy breasts.
You hugged me. What was that sound? Crack.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay.
But mm-hmm. the practical concern is like, yeah. Well, what if you take a lot of strontium and then all of a sudden calcification appears in your breast and now they want to do like a biopsy unnecessarily? That's not going to happen.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Good point at which to pause because we want to offer one of our sponsors this forum to share an important message with you. So here goes. Listen up. You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands that I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. We vet them carefully, and we recommend the very self-same supplements that I take and Layla takes and that
yes.
we prescribe to our patients. So check them out.
Okay. We got an email from Dan. Did you see this? The post-surgery study on a blocked artery, that there's plastic in a carotid artery?
Yeah.
So isn't that something? First report of micro/nanoplastics in patients with atheroma, and they're linked to worse clinical outcomes.
Well, it's
wow.
It's kind of a big deal. So what will happen, and I covered this on the radio program, but it's worth reiterating this, is we used to think that the problem with plastic is the chemicals that leached from the plastic into the water. So like
bisphenol A.
Yeah, I mean, if you buy like a 12-pack water and you keep it in your the back
your
station wagon or something, and it's like we're going camping and it's in the sun, and then you open the bottle of water, it's like this kind of smells a little funky, like chemically, right?
Yeah.
That's the leaching of the styrenes and the various plastic the chemicals they use, phthalates, in the plastic BPA. Into the water.
Mm-hmm.
But when you discard plastic, it doesn't break down. Like you discard a paper bag and it'll
biodegradable.
It's biodegradable, right? Because it's cellulose, it gets, it's like wood, to be broken down. But plastic only breaks into smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller particles. And even after 1,000 years, those particles persist. And we're using so much plastic all over the world that there is plastic in everything. And there's plastic in the air, too. The particles are so small that they're aerosolized.
True.
And they are in our bodies because of the food we eat, the water we drink, and even the air we breathe.
In a hospital in the 1950s, if you were getting an IV, it was coming out of a glass jug.
Better.
Or jar.
Well, now you get an IV,
Now you get, everything's in plastic.
Yeah. But it's actually, some of that's coming from directly. So they did this study, my alma mater, Columbia, Lamont Daugherty Institute, which is, they used a high-tech method that looked to find even more infinitesimal nanoparticles. Mm-hmm. Nano means it's below micro, it's smaller than micro, almost like molecular size. And they were shocked to find that there was like 10 to 100 times more particles in bottled water, plastic bottled water, than was anticipated. And okay, so that's like, we don't even know what that does. We don't know what that does. But theoretically, particles so small can find their way into the tissue and can even find their way into the cells.
Yeah.
And what havoc may they create? Well, new study, this is what he's referring to, Daniel, is, so they actually have, they'll snip out parts of your artery in a bypass surgery, and they can then do an analysis on these particles. They said, look, send us some of your snipped out clogged arteries and we'll scoop out the gunk inside and we'll analyze it for microparticles. And what they found is the more microparticles in the gunk, the worse the prognosis was of the people who'd already had the treatment.
Wow.
Because people who already have heart disease, they're still more likely than a virgin artery person to have an event.
Yeah.
A heart attack or a stroke or death. And what they found is the more microplastic, the more likely there was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we could, correlation's not causation.
Right.
It may be that because, you know, that the worse lesions suck up more plastic for some reason. It's not necessarily the cause, but it is, we're beginning to look at
it's junk.
Yeah, it's extraneous junk that never, the human beings have never experienced in, you know, 2 million years of evolution.
Yeah.
And we're bathing in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are the effects? Particles get in the brain, they get in the eye, they get into the blood vessels.
I would often joke and say, maybe in 500,000 years we'll be able to eat plastics, our genome will have caught up, and we'd be more tolerant of it.
Well, that would be the case if there was natural selection.
Yeah.
But there isn't anymore.
Yeah.
Right? We sustain people who are not genetically, you know, adapted to our modern environment. So,
That's true.
So,
and so much that we're finding out about the microbiome, that's a player in all of that as well.
Yeah.
So it's really something.
So yeah, it is concerning. I mean, and you mentioned the intestines. Certainly the intestinal wall is also a target of these things.
Oh, my goodness,
and it is possible that there could be some damage to the intestinal wall, leaky gut, you know, setting off a cascade. It's a huge concern. So one of the guys on the boat, you know, you chat up guys on the boat, and he was a nice guy. You know, when you're in your bathing suit on a boat, it takes like several hours before you ask, so what do? You know, it's like the last year, it's like, where have you dove? You know, what, it's like, you know, so I said, well, you know, what do you do? And, he said, I'm in plastics. I manufacture plastics.
Wow.
And I said, oh, okay. And I started talking about the microparticles and stuff like that. And he said, yeah, you know, it's a concern, but like, What are you going to do? Yeah.
People aren't even, you know, even go into your kitchen and look at all your Tupperware and your Rubbermaid, and not to call out name brands or anything that we love and have used all of our lives, but even the Saran Wrap and everything, it's like, what are you going to do? You have to live a little bit of a different way.
Only
we become
small,
so reliant.
A small fraction is recycled.
That's true.
And by the way, our clothes are now plastic. Our clothes are plastic.
Yeah.
And they brag about it.
If you wash and wear in polyester, oh my God.
No, but so the new
plastic,
fabrics are,
the synthetic,
there's a lot of,
the
it's material. Not like your old rayon, you know, leisure suit, you know, that felt like really, they're wonderful fabrics.
Yeah.
You know, they're like quick dry fabrics.
Yes.
But they're plastic. So you throw them away. Where's that going?
True.
Where's that going?
Exactly.
Where's that going? So you have to, I think it's an existential problem. I worry about it more than I worry even about climate change, is the amount of junk we're putting into the environment. You know.
Well, that also impacts all of it.
Yeah.
Climate and all. So, oh my goodness.
So anyway, so just to give you an idea, I said, so how was your flight in here? And he goes, oh, we took a NetJet. I said,
what's that?
That's like a private jet.
Oh.
So he's doing well.
Oh, nice. Very good.
Just him and, you know, eight people on a net jet that flew
from New York to the board of directors of Plastics Incorporated. Or very nice.
But, you know, it's like...
Lovely. Okay. Dan, thank you for that. Oh, my goodness. We've got an email from Steve. Hi, Layla and Dr. Hoffman. I'd like your opinion on Dr. Michael Greger's views of a healthy lifestyle for longevity. He claims that mostly an herbivore diet is best, like a vegan diet, that meat, chicken, fish, and eggs are some of the worst foods to eat.
What I don't like about Michael Greger is not just so much that he is a vegetarian, which I disagree with, but the way he presents the information.
Yes. Cherry-picked?
Well, it's cherry-picked, but also it's like kind of lurid. Here's a picture of him.
It's a lot of scare tactic.
And his books include things like How Not to Die.
Yeah.
How Not to Die.
How Not to Die.
How Not to Die. I mean, so that's kind of a ambitious claim.
Mm-hmm.
And... I don't know that you can say that a vegetarian diet is the panacea for how not to die. However, there's a lot of evidence that inclusion of plant foods mm-hmm. is beneficial.
Yeah.
Except when it's not.
Right. That's true too.
Except when you get too much oxalate or something, you know, like you get a problem.
Too much oxalate. Maybe
too much fiber.
FODMAP. Too much fiber.
Yeah.
All kinds of things. So, yeah.
You know, it's going to work. For some people, especially people who are genetically mm-hmm. primed for that. That's the science of nutrigenomics, how to select the right diet for your genotype.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that science has arrived yet.
Yeah.
But I just think it's ideology, not science.
It's true. And I believe he's one of the doctors that is still riding the TMAO bandwagon. Even though it's been debunked.
Oh, because it favors his argument.
Yes, it does.
Because it suggests that carnitine from meat is bad and that choline from eggs is bad. You don't want eggs.
Choline from fish is bad.
Yeah, so eat a vegan diet.
Eat a vegan diet, right.
But soy has choline.
Yeah. Now, we know professionally as practitioners that if you do embark on a vegan diet, you will eventually become deficient in a lot of things. And that right there should speak volumes to anyone
mm-hmm.
considering that. So Steve, no, we don't believe Dr. Michael Greger's view of life, of that kind of lifestyle is healthy. I disagree with it anyway. I've seen it work for a period of time in a lot of younger people, but then after a time, something starts to go away. They lose their energy, their radiance, even their bone mineral density, which is very scary at a young age, and that becomes a problem, these deficiencies.
I saw a graphic about science, and it listed all the fields of science, like geophysics and, particle physics and chemistry, and there are millions mm-hmm. of scientific publications every year. And they rated the scientific publication and geology and, you know, just take any discipline. And they rated them according to reliability. And at the very bottom, in terms of reliability, was nutritional epidemiology.
Yeah.
Because you come up with studies like, vegetarians live longer. And then it's like, just the latest study, which showed no relationship between meat consumption and mortality whatsoever.
Yeah.
It was a very sophisticated study, which I'll talk about on a subsequent show. And it used something called Mendelian randomization, which is a fashionable way to get over the objection that you could always say that people who follow one or another diet are not careful in other aspects of their diet. But when you do Mendelian randomization, it kind of focuses on the variable of concern without looking at extraneous factors.
Yeah. Just epidemiology by nature is so flawed in its methodology, especially nutritional epidemiology. I know you and I have talked at length about this.
Recall.
Food frequency questionnaires. Right. A lot of people are not only can't they recall what they ate for dinner yesterday, but how they ate over the last year.
Yeah, yeah.
How can you answer the question, how many eggs did you eat last year in the year 2023? What? I don't want to, I couldn't even give you the answer of how many I ate, for example. But then there is also...
I could tell you because I eat very consistently.
Yeah, yeah, I do too, actually. I do too. I probably could tell you if I just put a little right. math into that. But what I'm saying is, a lot of people aren't going to remember, or if they traveled a lot, or if they've had upheavals in their life, how they ate on those days, and how does that factor in? But on top of that, people want to answer virtuously.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wish I ate that, so I'm going to write down.
Exactly.
There's a lot of that going on as well. So how do we know what we're looking
at?
How do we know what we're measuring? So I almost want to say, at the end of the day, what is the point?
One of the ways, maybe, is to... There are some studies that look at metabolites of foods to see if the... To put a more objective basis on it. But it's tricky.
It is tricky, because the metabolite that shows up, doesn't that also... Isn't that also confounded by your particular microbiome versus my microbiome?
Yeah.
I mean, how do we know?
Yeah.
And if we're getting enough nutrients to actually metabolize it properly in order to get that end product metabolized. I mean, we could go on and we could talk about this for days about how that's not going to work.
Well,
it's just it's fascinating.
They still churn out all kinds of nutritional articles.
That's true. As long as the funding keeps coming, our taxpayer dollars at work, everybody.
I saw an article that was in Journal of the American Medical Association that pointed out a major safety hazard.
Nutrition.
That caused a major increase in deaths. They actually did a study on this, and I find it kind of weird and somewhat amusing that it got published, is that what they found is that there was a certain percentage increase in drowning due to the fact that they built a wall in certain parts of the Rio Grande. So the answer is the wall is supposed to deter people from coming, but you know, so if you don't want to drown, don't go into this raging river where there's a wall, you know. But
oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's not to be uncompassionate to the migrants, but, you know, I guess the take-home message was like, it's a safety hazard. Take down that wall.
Wow. Yeah.
This isn't what... And they did study, and they just with, like, statistical significance and, like, a sophisticated analysis. And it was like... Well, duh. Mm-hmm. If you put up a wall and you deter people from coming, there is danger in trying to swim in the not easy places.
Right. Money is spent on this, which I find the most concerning thing of all.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about... Anyway. Rita, thank you for your... Oh, wait. Rita's
also,
our next question.
Walls also increase the percentage of people who are injured by falls.
Humpty Dumpty anyway? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
But it was in the Journal of the American Medical Association. There's a lot of research like that.
Wow. Talk about the dumbing down of...
I'm waiting for the double-blind placebo-controlled trial on parachutes. I don't want to sign up for the control group.
Did you get the parachute? I don't know. I'm double-blinded. I don't know. Oh, my gosh. Okay, moving on. This is from Rita. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I follow your podcast regularly with much attention. Do you have an opinion on functional or performance coffee?
Okay.
Like they mix Colombian coffee with adaptogens, maybe MCT oil, maybe curcuminoids.
Mm-hmm.
Is this better than taking supplements? Well, what do you think?
Well, the origins of this was David Asprey, I think, created the craze for bulletproof coffee.
Yeah.
And that is a good accoutrement to a keto diet, because you'll take your coffee, and instead of putting sugar in it, you'll actually get a big dollop of fat. And that's what drives a keto diet. So on a keto diet, that could be part of your regimen.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem, and I once said this about the Atkins diet, you know, your near and dear Dr. Atkins, who you trained with, is I said the Atkins diet is a great diet in the same way that you can get the best, closest shave with a samurai sword.
Oh, my gosh.
Extra sharpened samurai sword. But you got to wield it very carefully, or you'll cut your throat.
Yeah.
And that's true of like very low carb diets, because if you say, well, I'm going to have a lot of fat and I'll have a little bit of rice and some oatmeal and, you know, I'll have dessert and
No.
Right. So it, in like, so what did, we had a patient, right? Who?
Yes. Very keto.
Couldn't lose weight.
Couldn't lose weight, even though he was eating one meal a day. And I went to great lengths to see how much food he was actually eating during that meal. Was it like a big banquet of
food? It takes like 20 minutes to find these things
out. Exactly. Yeah. And then what he eventually revealed is that he was having about 5 or 6 cups of bulletproof coffee every day. And in each cup was like 2 or 3 tablespoons of MCT. I'm like, you're drinking calorie bombs.
Yeah.
You're going way into the stratosphere calorically. Yeah. Calories still do matter at the end of the day.
They do. Right.
We can't all take in 4,000 calories a day like NFL linebackers. We can't.
And to keep in mind is one way to be in ketosis is don't eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't forget to not eat.
Don't forget to not eat, everybody. You don't have to feed the ketosis. You not feed it to keep it there.
Yeah.
You don't have to break the fast until it's time to break the fast with that.
Oh, and I got to say, and I, you know, I'm going to do a discussion of it on the weekend program, but there was a study this week, and I use the word advisedly, study, in Dr. Evil quotation marks. It was highly touted by the press. You saw it, I think, is that intermittent fasting increases your risk of a heart attack by 91%.
Oh, right.
Heart attack and stroke, right? Mm-hmm. So already several really people I respect have written the critiques on this, and I'll share those critiques of the study.
And YouTubed about it, too.
Yeah, because people were outraged by it. The press ran with it. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, oh, you stupid people doing intermittent and keto diets, you know, you're going to kill yourself.
You're going to die.
You're going to die. And so I think part of the problem is it was a poster presentation.
Yeah.
And poster presentations are not even like in the main hall. They just have like a bulletin board and you can stick it up there. And there's no way without what's called peer review of knowing if there are methodological flaws with it. So they just took the top line conclusion and they just...
And they made a poster.
With it, well, the press ran with it.
The press ran with
it. Yeah. I mean, if you look at the poster, sometimes you're cross-eyed, you know, trying to understand them. So I think it was also, again, like recall diet records, blah, blah, blah. It's done in China, I think. Okay. But I got to look at the critiques because more analytical minds than me have taken that paper and ripped it to shreds. It was inappropriate for the press to pick it up and to amplify the conclusions because, look, intermittent fasting is a great way to A, lose weight, B, improve your metabolism,
cure hyperinsulinism.
Yeah. You know, one of our favorite words is autophagy.
Yeah.
Right? You know, because you do the cleanup.
Our lack of autophagy may be the basis for so much of our chronic disease.
It's one of the, to encourage autophagy is a way to reduce the risk of cancer, reduce the risk of dementia, as an anti-aging strategy.
Yes.
So autophagy occurs in a fasted state. But if you're eating, like if you wake up and you eat a donut at 6 a.m. before you jump in the car to go to work and you have a mid-morning snack because there's put it out there for you, and then you have a lunch, and then you have like your mid-afternoon snack because you're already fallen in your, you know, in your, on your computer.
Right.
And then you go home and have a big potlatch dinner, and then before bed, you have a little snacky poo. You're eating 16 out of 24 hours.
Yeah. Which gives your body no time to do anything except digest.
Right.
Digest and absorb. Yeah. And no room for house cleaning, no room for sweeping away cellular debris, no time to repair DNA, none of that.
Yeah.
It's like having a chronic house guest. You can't do a deep clean until they go.
Right.
Think of hoteliers and everybody's, you know.
You must be a great hostess. It's like, I can't wait for them to leave.
What are you leaving? So I have to do a deep clean.
From a vacuum.
Oh, my gosh. not just vacuum, get out the steamer. I'm kidding.
Yep.
But that is, you know, to really stress the point of how important that is.
Yeah.
Even traditional Chinese medicine says, be done eating 5 hours before bedtime.
Oh, wow.
In fact, they say you should only eat during daylight hours. When it's dark, no more eating.
Yeah. I'm not good at that. Yeah. I will sometimes, you know, eat like 8 o'clock, 7, 8 o'clock. I usually don't have to eat except for that.
Yeah.
Where I do the intermittent fasting is when I'm not going to work. I will, or if I'm going to do like a major exercise, I'll have like a little bit. But if usually when I exercise fasted.
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know,
that's
and then
the
I'll,
way to exercise is fast.
I'll come back from a bike ride and be like 11. Then I'll eat.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Exactly. So there we go, Rita. There you go. All right. So, with regard to the bulletproof coffees and things, yeah, be careful. Not every cup has to be bulletproof. One cup is plenty to do your tablespoon or two of maybe coconut oil or other MCT oil or butter or ghee.
Mm-hmm.
If you're having that, you could add your curcuminoids, or if you're doing a golden milk kind of
thing.
This was
inspired by yak butter that they put
yes.
in, right?
Was it in the Himalayas?
The Himalayan thing, yeah, right.
Right, yak butter and tea.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even coffee, it was tea with yak butter.
Hey, listen, if you're a Sherpa, like, and you're, you know, like you're assisting people climbing Mount, you know, Everest, that could work for you with the caloric burn that you're going to experience.
Out shepherding sheep all day and walking all kinds of terrain. Yeah,
yeah.
Where's my yak butter tea?
Anyway.
My goodness.
All right, so what we're going to promote today is, you know, we talk about supplements here on Intelligent Medicine, although today we didn't talk very much about supplements. DrHoffmanStore.com, you can shop hundreds of curated, vetted supplements in my full script dispensary, where we stock only the highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, and you can also get reliability because there's a lot of stuff that's out there that is sitting around too long or is even outright counterfeit.
That's true.
Amazon is
be
a big river, and it carries a lot of debris with it down to the ocean.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
So we appreciate your questions.
All right. So our special report, you can find it for on defensive eating, drhoffman.com/defensive eating. I've written an article entitled Immunity Reset. You can find it at drhoffman.com. Click on the Read drop-down menu and then click Immunity Reset because, well, a lot of people concerned about... Are people still wearing masks? Or patients were wearing a mask today?
Two masks.
Two masks, yeah. So, you know, the vaccine of questionable benefit at this stage in my opinion, in the pandemic, COVID milder, but you still don't want to come down with the usual respiratory ailments. So check out my Immunity Reset article at drhoffman.com for all the lifestyle things that you can do to and supplement things you can do to enhance your immunity. I think that's all for today, Layla. So we'll convene next week and send questions to drhoffman.net.
Thanks, Dr. Hoffman.
Thank you. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks, listeners. This is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have and should seek the assistance of their health care professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.